Fire from the house must be spreading. With my luck, it's going to ignite this entire mountain, both east and west, about to go up in flames. I can't believe we might burn alive when we could have drowned with our parents. That's the age-old question, right? Burned alive or drowned? Which would you choose?
David, just go,
Sam says, sounding like she's going to cry. My foot punches the gas. East. The highway is narrow, one lane each direction. Between the huge green formations of earth that rise off to the sides is a drop into nothingness. The small guardrail wouldn't be able to stop us from careening into the foggy abyss. The road gets smoother, no potholes or cracks to slow us down. But I keep it at 50 miles per hour, just above the speed limit, my fingers practically the same color as the thing next to Sam. Sam takes a swig from her water bottle and holds it up. Want some? My mouth's like dry dirt, but I'm not taking my hands off the worn leather of the wheel. I've only had my license for 2 months and haven't driven at night or in the mountains. I'm okay. I nod towards the thing next to her. How about him? I catch a glimpse in the rear view. I think she's putting her hand on it, but my eyes return forward, locking in on the curve coming up. I glide the wheel to the right, press my foot on the brake until we hit a bit of a straightaway. I check the mirror, see the thing's head pressed against the window, fog on the glass near his lips. As a beast, he was naked, so he still is. Just like when Mom would make us strip down in the backyard after we'd been playing in the mud. She'd turn the hose on us, the water always freezing, and we could never stop laughing or screaming. We'd wrap ourselves in beach towels, drip into the house, and all three of us would jump on Tim's bed, smiling until our cheeks almost split. Only now, Tim's not really Tim, and he's shaking worse, his breath's coming out in spurts. I say, see if there's anything back there for him. Check the floor.
Yeah, there's like these overalls, I think, she says, unfolding thick denim.
Put them on him.
You put them on him.
Oh, you want to drive?
Sure do, better than trying to dress whatever this is.
For some reason, it makes me feel better that Sam isn't just accepting all of this about Tim either. I slow down for the next bend. A wave of guilt hits me for leaving Grandma's without alerting the authorities. There wasn't time to phone anyone, but no one knows anything about us or the trouble we've left behind. Our last 36 hours of hell. We should call someone, I say.
Who?
Sam asks. Maybe someone could help us.
Who could help us, David?
I don't know, but... I'm just talking at this point to keep from thinking about everything. We keep rolling through the switchback down the mountain. I'm telling her to at least put the overalls over Tim to keep him warm. She finally does. My eyes start closing. I roll down my window a few inches like Dad used to do, driving us home after a long, sun-drenched day at the water park.
What are you doing? It's cold,
Sam says. Yeah? And I'm falling asleep.
Fine.
It might be my eyes playing tricks, but I swear there's a flash of blue flickering on the guardrail up ahead. Blue switches red, and then back to blue. We're doing 30 around the corner. Two sizzling flares and 50 feet of asphalt are between us and the police SUV parked sideways across the road. It's blocking our lane.
David!
I'm pressing the brakes, but we're not slowing fast enough. A cop in a puffy green jacket stands by the rear door of the police car. He spins towards us, hand held up to stop. But there's no way to follow his command. I'm pushing the pedal, but if I mash it too hard, I'll swing us right into him, crushing his body against the SUV. I turn the wheel left, cross the divider, and pass the SUV, headlights from another car coming right at us. Sam screams and I whip the wheel right, Grandpa's car sliding sideways. Tires screeching. The side of the car slams into a parked police cruiser, causing a crunching crash of metal more violent than my head smacking off the window. Everything's black. We're not moving. I try to shake it off, but I'm too scared to open my eyes. There's something outside the car. I keep my eyelids clenched, my head one giant pounding throb.
What just happened?
A tiny voice buzzes behind me. I don't know who's talking. I don't know anything except I'm inside the car. It's hard to see out of my left eye.